This morning we're going to be talking about this one word called hope. And I'm going to guess that as we've gathered this morning, as we gather every single week together, that there are probably some here today that maybe are feeling a little bit hopeless in life, or maybe they don't have great hope in a certain situation that they're working through in life. So maybe it's not all of life, but there's something heavy weighing on you, and you just you're having a hard time having hope as you work through that dynamic, right? Maybe you don't even know why you came to church today, because like, what's the point? Where's the hope at? Nothing's changing, right? And life is bad for you maybe this morning, and you feel like there's just no hope. Maybe you've had your hope in the wrong things. That's a possibility. Maybe you've had your hope in God, but what you expected God to do didn't happen. And that then has created like this cycle of feeling hopeless again. Maybe you have lost hope or are afraid to put your hope into anything for fear of being disappointed yet again. So today I want to show us, hopefully, some keys to hope and how to live in hope in life. Hope is absolutely essential for life and for living, I believe. Living with hope can truly change things going forward in our lives. I don't know, do we have some people in here that would admit to being fans of the TV show The Office? Okay, so we got some Office fans in here. The story I'm sharing, there's an episode that your mind is immediately going to go to. But this is not an illustration from The Office. This is actually an illustration that just lines up with that particular episode. So, self-made millionaire Eugene Lang who had received help himself to go to college, wanted to be able to help those who were like him, coming from underprivileged backgrounds. When he was giving a commencement speech to the graduating sixth grade class at PS 121 in East Harlem, the same school he had attended years earlier, he promised the 62 graduates, you know what episode I'm talking about now, right? He promised the 62 graduates that he would help finance their higher education if any in the group who stayed in school and finished high school wanted to continue on to college. At the time, the high school that they would all be attending had a dropout rate of 60%, and an average of two students from PS 121 went on to college. It's about 3%. This was in 1981. By 1985, when these kids were in their sophomore year, all 62 of them were still in school. It turns out that 90% of them graduated high school, and 70% went on to college, with half of those completing their degrees. Half of them completing their degrees. Those kids now had hope for a different life. Because it seemed that they had no hope at all prior to this, right? They could graduate high school, but then what would happen? Statistically, most likely, they would have been headed to the streets or to drugs or to dealing drugs. Till that day, many of them did not experience any hope that could really make things different. But now, they had hope, and that hope helped them to live a better life in the present, because of hopes of a better life in the future. The truth is that sometimes it's tough for us to have hope in life, to have hope in situations that we're walking through in life. There are so many things that are seeking to rob us of hope today. Right? Maybe it's an economy that isn't at its all-time best. Maybe it's a relationship that's really difficult. Maybe it's illness or continued illness in a family member. Maybe it's struggling through some difficult financial situations. Maybe it's a job that feels like it's just a dead-end job that really is making no difference in anybody's life, let alone in this world. Maybe it's the uncertainty of the future and what the future holds for you as you think of your life post-high school or post-college. Satan will try to use like all these circumstances and so many more to try to rob us of hope. So let me ask you these two questions. How do we live in hope even when we're facing struggles in life? Even when there's uncertainties in our life? How do we live in hope when we don't have Eugene Lang around? Truth be told, we have something way better than Eugene Lang. We have Jesus Christ. And he has offered us hope, not just for a college education, but for eternity itself. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 and 4, and you don't need to turn there. We're going to be looking at another passage as our main passage today. But in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 and 4, it says, in his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and in an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you. That's awesome. We have that when we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior by believing in him. Probably one of the most famous Bible verses in all of Scripture that many of you know is John chapter 3, verse 16, where Jesus says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." We have this eternal life not based on what we do, but solely based on the belief in receiving Jesus as our Lord and Savior. So how do we live in this hope when our circumstances are rotten, are bad, are hard? Eugene Lang found that even though he promised these kids a college education, and that was helpful in providing them with hope, that he also needed to put in place a few other things to help them live in hope through the time of that process. So according to a website that gives the history of Lang's foundation, it says, as he got to know his dreamers, and as I was doing more research on it, he would take these dreamers, these 61 to 62 students, out for like a meal once a month just to get to know them and to be with them. So as he got to know these dreamers, Lang realized that they needed more help than he could give to all 61 of them on his own. So he hired a full-time program coordinator, Johnny Riviera, and enlisted the support of a local community-based organization to provide services and support to the children through high school graduation. At the same time, he maintained close personal relationships with these kids. Eugene Lang, he may not have known it, but he took a play right out of the scriptures in helping those kids live in the hope that he had provided to them by giving them support to help them continue in living in that hope in the immediate and present time. Jesus Christ has provided us with the hope of eternity through his death and resurrection from the dead. But he has provided us with support as well to live in that hope as we endure the struggles of life today, tomorrow, and between now and eternity. So this morning we're going to explore the support that he has given us to help us live in hope. We're going to explore some keys to hope. So if you're going to follow along with me in the Bible, we're going to Romans chapter 15, verses 4. If you're using a church Bible, page 805. Romans 15, verse 4. In our text today, Paul is writing to the church at Rome, and he's encouraging the church amid some struggles that they were having relationally as the church was reaching more people, and as they were reaching more people, they were reaching different kinds of people from different backgrounds with different cultures, right? So the church began largely as a Jewish sect, but now Gentiles were coming into the church, and people were struggling with different ways of doing things and different cultural practices, and these relational challenges were robbing the church of their hope. They were so focused on the problems, on the things that they didn't like, that they were not experiencing hope. The church was growing. They should be excited about that. That's hope-filled. So let's read what Paul writes to the church beginning in Romans chapter 15, verse 4. He says, "For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us so that through endurance and encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity among yourselves as you follow Jesus Christ, so that with one heart and mouth you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." And it goes on in verse 7. "Accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. For I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the Jews on behalf of God's truth to confirm the promises made to the patriarchs, so that the Gentiles may glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, 'Therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles. I will sing hymns to your name.' Again, I say, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and sing praise to him, all you peoples." And again, Isaiah says, "The root of Jesse will spring up, one who will arise to rule over the nations. The Gentiles will hope in him. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." These verses say a whole lot. In these verses that we just read, Paul writes to encourage the Christians in Rome who were discouraged by some of the changes and relational challenges that were going on in the church. Listen, even though they had hope of eternity, Paul reminds them of some things that they have to help them live in hope presently. So first of all, in verse 4, number 1, we see God helps us live in hope through his word. Okay, God helps us live in hope through his word. Verse 4 said this, for everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance and encouragement of the scriptures, we might have what? We might have hope. It's through reading God's word that we see and are taught about how God has been faithful to his people, even amid difficult circumstances. It's through reading his word that our circumstances don't necessarily change, but that he gives us strength and he gives us encouragement to stand in the hope that we have. Earlier in the letter of Romans, Paul writes in Romans chapter 5, verses 2 through 5, he says, "We rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our suffering, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us." As we receive the encouragement of God's word, we are strengthened to stand and persevere amidst suffering. Even to rejoice in the middle of suffering. Through God's word, we are reminded of his promises. Through God's word, we are told of his faithfulness to the generations of old. Through his word, we can be encouraged to live in hope, rejoicing even in the hard times. Even in the situations that may feel hopeless today. To experience true hope today, we must be in God's word. Secondly, God helps us live in hope through his word, but also God helps us live in hope through his church. Through other believers in Jesus Christ, through your brothers and your sisters that you gather with. Right, in Romans chapter 15, when we just read verses 5 and on, it says, may the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity among yourselves as you follow Christ Jesus, so that with one heart and mouth you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. For I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the Jews on behalf of God's truth to confirm the promises made to the patriarchs, so that the Gentiles may glorify God for his mercy. It is written, therefore, I will praise you among the Gentiles. I will sing hymns to your name. Again, it says, rejoice, O Gentiles, for his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and sing praise to him, all you peoples. Paul talks about having a spirit of unity and of acceptance of one another. Right? We've got Gentiles and we've got Jews, and they see life and they see things very differently. And there are certainly people in the world that we live in today, right, that see things very differently than you do or than I do. As we do that in the church, as we love one another, as we live united together, accepting each other, as we accept each other who are different than us, as we praise God together for his mercy and his love, we build relationship that helps us to stay focused, be encouraged, and have hope. Now there's a challenge in accepting people as Christ accepts us. To me, on this one, it can be hard because sometimes we confuse accepting with condoning sin. And they're not the same thing. They're not the same thing. Hear me on that. The Jewish Christians were struggling with the Gentile Christians about what they had to do to be part of the church. Did they have to get circumcised? Did they have to adhere to dietary laws? If they didn't, could they really be a part of the community of faith? All of these differences could destroy the church and the building up of the believers in hope, because they could just be bickering with each other all the time. But Paul tells the Jewish Christians that God quotes from the historical books in the passage we just read, the law, the writings and the prophets, to make his point to the Jewish Christians that God's plan was always to include the Gentiles. So they should accept them too. So let's fast forward that just a couple thousand years, right? Guess what? God's plan is to accept the people on this earth into his kingdom. Period. God's desire is that all people come to knowledge of the truth and repent, even people that aren't just like us. The church is made up of all kinds of people, and we need to accept people with their differences and be in unity with them. Now, hear me on this. This doesn't mean that sin is condoned. It does mean that we have a clear understanding between what is sin and what is preference and what brings glory to God and what doesn't bring glory to God. It also means that those of us who have been walking in the faith for many, many years maybe, in unity and love, we need to walk along those who are not in relationship with Christ, recognizing that we too are sinners. And through doing that, we can grow in unity together. Church is not about us or others, whatever group you want to throw into the others. Church is about God. So often we're looking for what we're going to get out of church in regards to the teaching and the music and worship experience and whatever else. Church is about us worshiping and glorifying God. It just so happens that we do that, and when we do that, He works in us and He keeps changing us. It's important to be part of the church and the fellowship of believers because God uses the church, His bride, and the relationships among His people to bring hope and to bring encouragement. Right? There are so many people in this small little congregation that we have here at Fairland that have gone through things that would love to probably walk with you as you go through something similar, and they can share with you kind of the end of their story, and that can help to bring you hope as you're going through yours. Don't let differences in people, or that people are not just like you, or the fact that you're attending church with less than perfect people be the cause of not being part of fellowship in the church. Because one of the ways that God helps strengthen us and keeps us standing strong in hope is through the church and the fellowship of His people. The author of Hebrews says in Hebrews chapter 10, he says, "Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. For He who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." So God helps us through His word. God helps us through His church. Our hope is also and ultimately found in His Son, Jesus Christ. And that's number three. Romans chapter 15, verse 12. "The root of Jesse will spring up, one who will arise to rule over the nations. The Gentiles will have hope in Him." Our hope, our only hope, is through Jesus Christ. Paul tells Titus in Titus chapter 2, verse 11 through 14. He says, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. While we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness, to purify for Himself a people that are His very own, eager to do what is good." Well, our blessed hope is in the future. We can live in that hope, and it should affect how we live and how we experience life because of what Christ has done for us. As I read at the beginning of the message from 1 Peter, it said, in His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you. The hope we have for the future and the hope we live in is solely because of Christ and his payment for our sins through his death and resurrection. But even though our hope is found only in Christ, God gives us overflowing hope through his Spirit, through the Holy Spirit. And that's number four and final. In Romans chapter 15, verse 13, the last verse of what we read, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. As the Holy Spirit fills us with hope, as we grow in faith through the Word, through the fellowship of the church, through having our eyes fixed on Christ and salvation, he has given us now, along with the inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, that's kept in heaven for us, that hope that can overflow from us through the Holy Spirit. And when it overflows from us, what does that do? It spills on to other people. As you interact with others in this world, in the life that you're given, and live in hope, in the hope that you have as a believer in Jesus Christ, and speak to others of the hope that you have, it will overflow so that they want what you have. As you endure the hardships and difficulties, circumstances that you might have to face in this life, as you endure those and persevere through them with the hope of glory, people see that and want what you have, even if it means that their circumstances may not be great at the moment. And that's because hope is essential to life and to living. As we leave this place this morning, my prayer is that you can live life with hope because God's mighty word and what we read in it and the stories from the past that we see that give us hope today, because of the family of believers that you surround yourself with, your brothers and your sisters that you go to church with. Hopefully you don't just come to church for 1 hour on Sunday morning and that's it, but you get integrated more into living life together and supporting each other. And because of your walk with Jesus Christ, the greatest reason of all to have hope. I pray that you yourself experience hope and that the Holy Spirit would give you overflowing hope so that others can see Christ through you and have hope as a result of you. That's my prayer for each one of us as we leave. Let's pray together. Lord God, we pause and we thank you that you are the provider of hope, that our circumstances and our environments and our relationships and our triumphs in life and our everything else that we go through in life, that those things are not the provider of hope, because all those things can change in a heartbeat. But you are the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. So we thank you that our hope is found in you, in Jesus Christ, and eternity that's granted to each one of us because of his death and resurrection. Lord God, help us to remember that. Help us to remember that through reading the scriptures and seeing your faithfulness as we look at some historical stuff that's taken place. Help us, Lord God, to find hope through our brothers and sisters in Christ, to intentionally work at building a relationship with somebody, perhaps, that's another believer in Christ. So we can share and encourage each other and help bring hope into each other's lives, even when we're going through those tough times. Help us, Lord God, as people, to be like this vessel of overflowing hope that others might see that and desire that and even come to know you as a result of that. We pray this in your holy name. Amen.